Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, your weekly installment of the adventures and hot prospects for those of us in middle age to have a great second half of life. I'm your host, Roy Richards. Are you in your 40s, 50s, or 60s and lonely? Perhaps you recently widowed or divorced and are not certain where to go from here. Maybe you've never been married, but you often dream of what it would be like to share the rest of your days with a loving partner. You know that you are lonely in middle age and would like to form a relationship with someone really special, but how? Well, according to our guest today, the secret to a loving relationship that works is to first fix you. Take back ownership of the condition your love life is in. Clear out all the old ideas, viewpoints, and games that haven't worked in the past and obviously won't work today, and concentrate on what you truly want from a life partner, and then perhaps more important, how you will make life better for that person in return, because obviously a successful relationship is a two-way street. You know, back in 1987, after two divorces, our guest today, then 45-year-old Tani Carr, knew that she wanted to be married again, but she didn't want a third romantic failure at that point in her life. And then she met Charlie, 16 years her junior. They married 1 month later and have been blissfully happy ever since. And she and Charlie celebrated their 26th wedding anniversary earlier this year. Tani has worked in TV production and as a communication specialist before writing her critically acclaimed book, 10 Weeks to Love. She's been a small business owner, and in an application years ago, she listed herself as a good, solid peasant stock. And that's the kind of person we like to have on our show. So hello, Tani, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you, Roy, and after that wonderful introduction, I'm not sure if I can top that, but thank you so much. And where you got that information about good, sturdy peasant stock, I don't remember where I placed that, but I'm so glad I did because it was a really fun part of my life.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where that was. I was somewhere on your website or your book
probably,
preview or something.
Probably.
Well, when
I should clarify what that actually was about so that we don't leave your audience going, what the heck was that woman talking about? I went for a job interview many years ago.
Yeah.
And at the end of the interview process, they say, well, is there anything else you'd like us to know about you? And I said, well, you know, I'm healthy and I show up on time. Yeah. And then I put in parentheses, good, sturdy peasant stock.
Yeah.
And just to make sure that they really got the image, I was being very playful about it.
Yeah.
Well, by the time I got home, I got a call from the manager of that restaurant. It was a very high-end restaurant. And he called to say, I have to meet the woman who said good, sturdy peasant stock. Well, I got the job, and I did very well.
That's great. You know, maybe that's a good idea for somebody looking for a job to put on their resume. I don't know.
Your listeners are free to use that if it works for them, you know.
Well, when you're in your 40s and 50s, what's the best way to recover from loneliness or from a bad relationship and to locate a new spouse or life partner for the long haul? Why don't you give us your golden rule for finding love? I know you mentioned that in your intro.
Well, there are definitely more than one rule, but I would say that the first thing and the entrance point for me is on the subject of loneliness. When I was in high school, and you may have, and your listeners may have had this experience, the people that had the boyfriends and the girlfriends weren't desperate. They just weren't.
That's right.
It seems to me that they could have it or not have it. And because they had a willingness to not have a relationship, I think that made them more attractive. They weren't desperate.
Yes.
They might be determined. They weren't desperate. When I went through my second failed marriage and a very contentious divorce that left me virtually with nothing of a material nature and having to start over with a new job and everything at 45, loneliness was definitely an issue. The first thing that I had to get my wits around was this idea that loneliness as a general concept can't be resolved or resolved easily. If you're saying, I'm lonely, well, you have to break it down. And I remember crying myself to sleep at night and then going, wait a second, what specifically am I afraid of? What am I lonely about? And once I broke it down into smaller increments, I found that I could actually confront those smaller increments. Part of my statement about taking back your life has to do with taking back responsibility or control, and it's just easier to do in small bites.
Once you do that,
you find, at least I found, that I felt less lonely, I felt less desperate, and I was more willing to experience what I was going through, which is definitely part of the recovery process.
Yeah.
So taking some ownership for your loneliness, but in small parts, very, very important. I found that another golden rule, if you will, was to start to embrace, not just be willing to take responsibility for, but to embrace my prior failures. You know, we somehow think that we can take ownership and responsibility for the good stuff, but it's tough to take ownership and responsibility for the garbage, for the failures. And if we can start to go, wait a minute, how clever was I that if I could mess up that badly, then I could create something good. So that was another major thing for me at 45.
To
embrace that.
That's a lot like what I suggest in my book. You go back and look at some things, that decisions you made in the past that you consider, quote, wrong now, although, you know, right or wrong, there's no black and white in the world. But you can feel good about one of two conclusions. Either you know you made the wrong decision back then, a number of wrong decisions, but you feel good because you know yourself better now and you know why you made it and you wouldn't make that same decision again. Or you know you made the right decision for the circumstances back then, so you certainly can feel good about that, that you have the ability to make right decisions when you make them. So you can feel good about that from either point, but you certainly don't waste a lot of time reliving the bad things in your past without a purpose.
Absolutely. You know, I think that your book sounds absolutely wonderful, and I do want to get it and read it, because what you're saying absolutely is correct and mirrors very much my own thinking on it, and which led me to a place where I could start to envision that I could actually have somebody in my life. So good for you for writing what you've written. I agree very much with it.
Well, that kind of leads me to the next question. Following death of a spouse or a breakup, which is in ways even harder, how should you go about determining whether you really want to seek out a new permanent relationship or whether you might be satisfied with a few close friends? How would you go about assessing what you want for the future?
That's another thing that I had to really take a look at, because my first thinking was, do I even want a relationship again?
Yeah.
Am I willing to go there again with the possible outcome of being another failure? And the later in life you go, the more hammered you feel, and wow, do I really want to go through that again? So
especially
what I
the
devised,
old 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out.
Oh, man. And,
and you had
I was not looking
two
for a third strike, I'll tell you that right now. I was definitely not. In baseball, it may work, but for me, it wasn't working at that point in my life. What I ended up doing, Roy, was I had to do a survey, basically. I had to look around at people that I knew, people that I knew about, people that are in the news, people that are married, and people that are living a successful single life, and take a look at their lives and really examine it and see, did they seem to be happier in those relationships later in their lives? Were they not? Were they happier by themselves with close friends and a cat, to keep them company? So for me, what I discovered was that the people that I admired the most had very, very good, solid relationships, ones in which they did not have to be somebody else to satisfy the relationship. They didn't lose their personal integrity. So I made a conscious decision, you know what, I can make this happen. I can certainly try. And if I'm willing to experience another failure, a real willingness to, then I have a better chance of moving forward with confidence, which is
what
happens.
Yeah, that's true. You can't move forward in anything in life unless you're willing to accept the fact that you always might fail.
That's correct.
And that, but not trying, you're guaranteed to fail because you're not going to get anywhere without trying.
Exactly, exactly. Again, we very much agree on that point.
Well, as a middle-aged single, how can you identify and remove the mental stumbling blocks and the self-created problems that may be blocking you from a genuine relationship? How do you go about doing that?
Well, what I did, and what I did in my book was to put exercises. I'd say, here's my story. This is what I did. Now it's your turn. Take pen in hand and you know, do this
great.
And that. But the exercise that I devised for myself was to sit down and take a look at, the first thing I did was I wrote out all the reasons why it might not be a good idea to have a relationship.
Oh.
All the reasons why it might not be healthy, good for my survival, etc. And I was amazed at how many things were on my list. And what I then did, again, I believe very much that to solve problems, you have to get to the specifics of a problem.
Yeah.
If you have a general, I'm not happy, okay, so now you better break that down in order to actually resolve it. So by making this list of all the reasons it might not be a good idea to get involved again, to fall in love again, I could pick each one of those out and say, well, is this relevant to my life now? Was it relevant at one point? Is it something that I should keep as a reason not to have somebody in my life? And I could make, again, a conscious decision. The problem that so many of us have, and we all have it, is that we've got these considerations and thoughts and ideas and games running on automatic pilot. We're not inspecting those things. We just kind of operate that way. If we can start to identify specific things, specific issues, then we can start to look at them in a new unit of time. We're looking at them in the present for their relevance.
Yeah, we have so many things in our subconscious mind. Some of them go back to when we were kids, something that our parents told us or the teacher at school told us in third grade, and they're buried in there, and we just go about slavishly letting that subconscious mind rule our thoughts without really thinking about why we're doing something now.
Exactly correct. Again, you and I are kindred souls in this regard, Roy, because now I know that you have a successful marriage, and you had to have looked at some of these things. People that have successful relationships in one way or another have figured some things out.
Yeah.
And so my story is mine. Other stories are out there. But what I did worked for me at 45, and so I'd like to share that information, obviously, and along with that through your wonderful show here.
Well, how do you gauge whether you're desperate for love or just determined to locate that right person? I know you mentioned that. And what's the difference between being desperate and determined?
Well, you know, nobody likes to be around somebody who's desperate. You feel uncomfortable because they're kind of clutchy and grabby and like, if we don't do this, I'll die. And you can't be there. This goes back to my high school experience.
Yeah,
the
that's
kids
what
were
I was
popular,
say. It
weren't desperate.
Reminds me of the really popular kids, like you say, in high school. They don't seem desperate, but they're open and they're willing to be your friend and stuff, but they're not desperate to be your friend.
That is correct. And the thing that I worked out for myself was that for me, there was an unwillingness to go and do things on my own. I felt somehow that I wasn't complete or that I couldn't have fun without there being a friend or a spouse or a boyfriend with me. So for me, that would lead to a bit of a desperation of having to be with somebody. Right?
Yeah.
So I decided at one point, I said, you know, I have to be doing things on my own and feel comfortable about it, so to remove some of that desperation. So I ended up going to, it seems like a small thing now, but for me it was a big thing at the time, was to just take myself on a date, to go to a movie by myself, go have dinner by myself, anything that I didn't feel I could do before, to go out and do that. And I suddenly found I'm okay with this. Huh. I actually had a good time.
Yeah.
And it was a different experience, but I had a good time. So as a result of that, the desperation part started to go away. Now, let me make it clear, I was not a desperate individual on the whole.
No.
It was just in certain areas, and those are the areas that you want to concentrate on.
Yeah.
But I found that if I was willing to consider that I might never have a relationship again, that
yeah.
I could be okay on my own, wow, what a difference that made. I no longer found that I was desperate.
You mentioned going out on a date by yourself, and
yep.
I've noticed single people eating alone in restaurants, and you can tell whether somebody really feels uncomfortable about that, because normally you don't see people by themselves other than maybe during the day at lunch or something at work. But
yes.
In the evening, you don't see many people out eating dinner by themselves, and yet some people are very relaxed at it and converse with the wait staff and other people around them and
exactly.
seem totally at ease, while other people look self-conscious that they're eating alone and, you know, it's like everyone in the place is staring at them. They just don't look comfortable at all.
Exactly.
And you feel
and
sorry
it's different
for them.
It's different things for different people.
Yeah.
I had to look at what I felt uncomfortable with, which was leading to a sense of desperation, especially
yeah.
as you get older. But
yeah.
it's going to be different things for different people.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we've been talking strictly about new relationships, but I'd like to shift for a moment to those of us still in long-standing marriages,
yep.
but perhaps one that's grown stale, boring, and unfulfilling. Please give us your three must-known tips for never growing bored with each other.
Well, my husband and I are so well matched for 26 years. We're never bored. And
yeah,
I mean that genuinely.
Great.
There are no absolutes in this world, but we are never bored with each other.
Well,
and I think one of the things is that it's very easy when you've been in a relationship a long time
yeah.
to start to give responsibility to the other person for how you feel.
Yeah.
You say, well, so-and-so is boring, so I'm bored. Well, wait a minute. How about you not being boring, number one? Number two, to not be boring yourself, you have to be creating your life. There's no substitute for that. When you're in a relationship long-term or marriage long-term, it's not about losing yourself that you cease to be yourself. To the degree that you are fulfilling your pleasures and passions and joy in life, you become not boring. And
yeah.
I also find that what you are creating is what you get. What you put your attention on is what you get. If you remind yourself, let's take full ownership here for this concept of being boring
yeah.
or being bored. If you will say, how can I create that relationship better? What can I put my attention on that will bring out the best of that individual? What can I
yeah.
do to contribute to that individual fulfilling his or her passions, goals, dreams? And that has worked very, very well for my husband and me. My husband supports my horse habit.
Oh.
I never had horses until I married my husband. I support his passion for music, for his guitar playing, for
oh.
photography. So if we would look at it as more, what am I creating and where am I failing to create in this relationship, rather than that person is creating this bad effect on me.
Does he actually get on horses with you, or is he just let you
know,
do
it? You know what? I call him my horse husband, but which
oh.
doesn't mean that he rides. He supports my habit. He actually has ridden, but he has
oh.
other things that he's passionate about.
Yeah, that's so crucial. Some couples think that they have to do everything together, and they have to share every passion together, but that's not true. It's
no.
definitely, I think, healthy for, anyone to spend part of their time doing that kind of thing that they really love. I mean, my wife loves to go to craft shows, and I go with her, but that's not the thing that I enjoy the most in life. But,
right.
joining her, I like to go out for walks each day. They're generally by myself, but just because I do that doesn't mean we can't share the rest of the day together, and we can't have a share what we find on our various journeys and passions and find common ground and do a lot of things together as well.
Exactly. You know what I share with my husband, and it's really joyful for both of us. I love to tell my husband the things that I've done that have excited me, that just are very fulfilling. And
oh.
the fact that he sits there with a big grin on his face, enjoying the fact that I am happy, and yeah. I do the same for him. Those are things that you can share. You don't have to share necessarily those experiences in certain areas, even though we do spend a lot of time together. We've worked together for most of this 26 years also, so we do spend a lot of time together, but yeah, not everything.
I've known other couples who tried to work together and that broke up their marriage.
Oh, I do understand that. It can be very difficult, which is why it's kind of interesting that not only is there quite an age difference between Charlie and me, which kind of makes us a little bit different, but yeah. the fact that we've enjoyed working together and complement each other work-wise for so many years, it's been very nice.
Years ago, I interviewed for a job down in Florida, and everyone I talked to at the company kept talking about this husband and wife that owned the company together and how they were constantly feuding at work.
Oh, no. How dreadful. On many levels, actually.
Yeah, but, and then they drove me to the airport together, and they seemed to be in perfect harmony at that point, so I'm not sure just what the true story was.
Yeah.
I don't know how they could separate, you know, if they were feuding at work, how they could have a good relationship at home. It must have been.
Well, there are some interesting challenges to be sure, because you're wearing different hats. When you work together,
yeah.
you have to take a different viewpoint. It can't be, honey, sweetheart, you told me that I didn't do that correctly, and now I'm all upset, as if it had to do with their personal relationship, right?
Yeah, that's right. And you can't obviously get all smushy and talk about honey in front of the staff. And
So true.
Well, at age 45, you entered into what they call a cougar relationship with a husband 16 years your junior, and you've been married for 26 years, so your relationship must be working. What is it that men cherish in older women that make those cougar relationships work sometimes?
Well, I think the first thing to do is really define and make sure that we're talking about what we're talking about. The term cougar has really become the word for rather predatory older women who are seeking out younger men. This was decidedly not me.
A cougar certainly is predatory.
Yeah, they are predatory. We love them in the wild environment, but not necessarily in our homes. The fact is that when I met Charlie, I was 45. He had just turned 29, and it was more difficult for me to get my wits around than it was for him. Yeah. I can tell you what he found attractive in me, which may or may not relate to age. He liked the fact that I knew who I was. He liked the fact that I had life experiences, that I was mature. But keep in mind, in his situation, Roy, he had been working since he was a kid. Oh. He was very mature for his age.
Yeah.
He had been married before, even at 29. Both of those women were older women. He just found them more interesting.
Yeah.
So in my case, he found me more interesting than young, nubile ladies that just don't know anything necessarily.
Well, that's a real good point, because a woman in her 40s certainly knows a lot more than, say, somebody just out of high school or just out of college in their early 20s.
Exactly. But by the same token, I have a good friend many years ago who in her 20s married a man that was 25 years older than her. They were an amazing couple. It really what it boils down to, if we can set aside the considerations we have about age and what that means, it truly is about making a connection with somebody at whatever age.
Of course, we always talk about chronological age, but that really doesn't make that much sense, because there's some people that are old at 40 and there's some people that are young and vibrant at 75. So it all depends on your outlook.
Isn't that the way it is in life anyway? You are as you think you are, not a new concept by any means, but one that we should be reminded of. It's an inner game. My viewpoint and what I learned was that the game of love was an inner game first and foremost. It wasn't about going to singles bars. It wasn't about, you know, what kind of car the guy drove or how much money he made. And it's really about your own viewpoint and perspective on life, what you contribute, what you create, and what you're willing to experience. And that's what it was for me, certainly.
Well, do you consider your experience with husband 16 years your junior a one in a million success, or is this fairly common that men and women are getting together at vastly different ages like that?
I don't think it's uncommon, but I think that because in society we have so much attention on age and what we look like, I think that there are more opportunities for people with folks of different ages than our own,
yeah,
if we simply were open to that. To me, the age thing just truly, it was for 5 minutes, it was an issue for me. 29, are you kidding? But he didn't have any attention on it, so my attention went off of it very, very fast. I think there are lots of opportunities. I think mostly we need to take a look at making connections with people that truly resonate to being the sort of individual that we could spend the rest of our lives with,
yeah,
happily and be happy about it. How long you're married means nothing. How long you're married when you're happy and fulfilled, now that's something to be very proud of.
That's very different. I assume that the chances for success in attracting a younger man are more difficult if the cougar gal, and there again, I'm not using that in a negative term, but
yes,
if she has young children at home, I suppose that probably makes it tougher usually to attract a younger man, or does it? Maybe.
Well, I had, you make such a good point, Roy. Your questions are so spot on. My son at that point was 18 years old,
yeah,
and he was already on his own.
Yeah,
however, that said, my husband's children were 2 and 4.
Oh, wow.
And even though it wasn't part of my wish list, I didn't include anything about that because I wasn't looking necessarily for a younger man.
Yeah.
So happily, I love my stepchildren. And even though they lived with their mom a lot of the time, I was,
yeah,
very involved in their upbringing. At one point, they came to live with us as teenagers. They are such assets. I'm so happy to have had that relationship with them. But, boy, that's something you better take a look at and you better discuss. And I have one point that I want to mention because it's not on your list of questions, and I really think it's important. I think a thing that people can do to better ensure a long, loving, lasting relationship is to plan for failure. And that is not the same as saying, well, if it doesn't work out, we can get a divorce. If you sit down with a prospective mate and you say, look, life happens, some things happen, and come on, let's take a look at things that might happen that could be showstoppers.
Yeah.
Let's talk now about how we would resolve those to the best of our
ability. Especially if there were children involved, that would
absolutely
be a key.
So we had to take a look at the fact that he had young children. Hey, I had to be good with that or it wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
So if people look at, if they face issues that could come up, you don't have to dissect it to death, but something as major as children, good heavens, that has to be discussed with people, especially given our age difference.
That's very true. Well, how can listeners preview and buy your book, 10 Weeks to Love? And what's the book about? It's basically your personal experience, but then you have exercises and suggestions how other people can embark on a similar journey.
Absolutely. The e-book is currently available on Amazon, but it's a much shorter version. If your folks out there are interested, have them go to my website where I will provide information. The end of this month, my soft cover book will be out. It's got exercises, added chapters. It's just, I was so happy to do it. Here's the website. It's weeks, W-E-E-K-S as in Sam, the number 2, and then love, love.com, 10 weeks to love.
Oh, so it's the number 2 rather than T-O. Then.
That is correct. Now, the name of the book, everything is spelled out. It's
it's
T-E-N, weeks to, everything is spelled out. But on the website, it's the numbers 10 weeks, the number 2 love.
Yeah,
I will have information on that. Plus, I have blog posts and people can get to know me that way, and I'm going to be doing a lot of TV and radio and other things because I want to help people lead happy and fulfilled lives, particularly from midlife on.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend somebody wait for that that book, hardcover.
If they can be
book.
Patient a couple 3 weeks, then I'll let them know how they can get it because it still is coming off the presses, and it's very exciting to have that.
Really,
I want
to
let you
go now and go to Amazon. You can get the ebook, right?
They can get the ebook on Amazon, but it doesn't have the exercises. That it's not nearly as broad a book. I added some chapters for the.
Well, you've given all of us old guys and old gals renewed hope and inspiration if we're lonely.
Yay!
Soulmate ideal partner still is out there. Not all the good ones are gone.
Whatever
your chronological age, you still have a lot of great potential qualities to attract Mr. or Mrs. Wright or Ms. Wright. And once you define precisely what you're looking for in a mate, you can then identify and call upon those talents and personal qualities that you'll want to emphasize to attract that ideal mate to you.
Absolutely.
And I would add one more thing. Take a deep breath, relax, and have fun out there, because dating is meant to be a fun adventure. And bury that fear factor, because that just ruins everything. And it isn't the end of the world if you blow one or two budding relationships, because they probably weren't meant to be anyway.
Oh, I agree. So true. Thank you for that, Roy. May I give you and your listeners a great website to go to that will inspire you to lead a fulfilling life from midlife on? The name of it is growingbolder.com, growingbolder.com. This is about people that have reinvented themselves from midlife, from late life, and it is so inspiring. You become uplifted just going to their website and seeing all these amazing men and women that are just leading passionate lives and what that's doing for them on many levels. So I've sort of given a plug to the people. They don't even know that I'm doing that at Growing Boulder, but it's a great website to go to get inspired.
That sounds like something I'm going to want to visit and see what they have to say there.
Absolutely. I think you would get a lot out of it.
And, we encourage you to go to my website, www.middleagerenewal.com, and you can preview my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and you can obtain a free gift if you go there. And thank you so much, Tani, for joining us today. And I think you've given a lot of inspiration to anyone that's, sort of at loose ends on where to go now, maybe a widow, maybe divorced, maybe just lonely for whatever reason, and how you can find that one true person to spend the rest of your life with.
Well, I sure hope so. It's been a real pleasure, Roy. Thank you for what you're doing to help inspire and help people regain hope. Don't give up, folks. You listeners out there, do not give up.
No,
that's my parting shot.
As Winston Churchill said in that speech, never give up or something. Said it three times, and then that was the end of the speech.
Yeah, there you go. Short and to the point.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, and have a great day, Tani.
Thank you so much, Roy. You as well.
Well, in modern society, we insure cars, boats, our homes, businesses, even our death. So why not insure happiness? You know, when you think about it, happiness in life should be your number one goal. And as we so often emphasize on this program and in my book, the common refrain, I'll be happy when, just isn't working, because when never seems to arrive, and if it does, it's replaced by a new when. You know, once you're happy with your life, everything else kind of falls in place. Health, wealth, relationships, productivity, concern for and service to others, they all tend to be a lot easier to accomplish if you're happy with your daily life, and that's so important. But as our next guest puts it, we're often too busy and stressed out to plan happiness. Yeah, I don't know if you realize, but last year, $34 billion worth of paid vacation time was forfeited, and that's just a downright shame when you think about it. You know, a vacation you can afford properly planned reduces stress, increases happiness, and helps you reconnect with loved ones and balance your life, and they also create lasting memories we cherish long after the vacation is over. And I can still remember some wonderful vacations when I was a boy or a teenager, when we went to Grand Canyon or we went to the East Coast and Atlantic City, places like that. It's just something that sticks with you over the years. And vacations and relaxation contribute more to our happiness than money or stuff. You know, it's so silly the way a lot of people accumulate all these material goods and then don't ever take the time off to enjoy them or don't know how to enjoy them. And I'm certain most of us would agree that happiness is our best investment. And our guest here today, Rami Lazarescu, will help confirm that. And he's founder and CEO of HappinessAssurance.com. And they've been around for 18 years. And Rami is the winner of the U.S. President's Excellence Award. And he's been featured in the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Boston Globe, and numerous other regional and national publications. And hello, Rami, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you very much, Roy, for having me. Thank you.
Well, why is it you think that we seem to plan for everything else in life, but we don't plan for our own happiness?
I believe the reason is that because most of us are simply too busy and too stressed to really plan happiness.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of us, we do every day what is urgent rather than what is important.
Yeah, we let events manage us instead of managing the events.
Absolutely. Actually, there was a statistic that was published a few weeks ago by Time Magazine, and they have done a research on happiness, what really makes us happy, and the conclusion, which wasn't surprising to me, was that experiences contribute more to our happiness than our money or stuff. And therefore, really, the onus is on us as individual to create the conditions of our happiness and to create happy experiences in our life. And what better experience than a vacation that you can spend quality time with your loved one when you are away from stress?
Well, tell us about your website, happinessassurance.com, and how $7 a day can lead to a $7,000 luxury vacation, a seven-night luxury vacation for a family of four. Sounds pretty exciting to me.
Yes, it is very exciting because what, in essence, we are doing, if you think about it, most people love vacation, but there are two main objections for vacations, which is time and money.
Yeah.
And most of us, we are saying, yeah, sure, I'll love a vacation, but I really can't afford it. It's just too expensive.
Yeah.
Well, with our program, if you can afford a latte a day, if you can afford $7 a day, and this is really for the entire family, if you can afford $7 a day, you can't give yourself the excuse that you can't afford it because you can. Now, the way that our program works is very simple, is that for $7 a day over a period of 12 months, which is only $210 a month, we basically can help your listeners with seven nights luxury vacation in a villa that can include living room, dining room, gourmet kitchen, two or three TVs, DVD player, stereo system, and sometimes even a jacuzzi bath. So therefore, with our program, we really make it so affordable that you virtually can't afford not to do it.
Yeah, you know, if it's a $7,000 value, and these are like $500 to $1,000 a night rooms, I think, or villas that you were talking about, and you know, if you figure out the math, it's like $2,520 for a $7,000 value, and that's like a 64% savings, which is not bad.
Yes, and this is really, again, we are all slaves for our perceptions, and many people, they think that the best price, they can actually get it online. And with our prices, we are actually, as you mentioned, we are 60% less than, you know, the online price for luxury vacation. And also with our program, and this is really unique, what you can do is that you can lock in the record low and you can decide later where and when to go. Now, this is really important because with our program, you have 1,979 amazing destinations to choose from. So you
and
can go to the West End.
The same. That's the interesting thing to me. You can, you know, you lock in your price and then you can choose the location later.
That's correct. And the name that are there, you can go to the West End and Hilton and Sheraton and Hyatt and many and Disney and many top end, you know, brand names, but for a fraction of the price. And because it's also flexible in the sense that you can lock in the low, you can also decide later not only where but even when to go. So therefore, really, if you want to take advantage of this opportunity, all you have to do, you can just go to happinessassurance.com, and for only $7 a day, you can assure your future happiness, because no matter what will happen in your life, you know that you'll always have something great to look forward to. Because after all, you know, happy experiences transcend time. You'll always remember happy experience regardless how long ago it was. And really, the onus is really on us to generate happy experiences in our life.
Well, let me ask you a question. Say I've signed up for your program and I've only been making payments like for 5 or 6 months, and then I decide suddenly I get some time off and I want to take the vacation right away. Can I pay for the rest of that?
Yes, you can. Yeah, the program was really designed to be flexible, so you can actually go on your vacation at any time. So if, for example, let's say that you say, you know what, I want to go on vacation next week.
Yeah.
You can pay everything up front, and you can go on a vacation for 60% less than what you can find online. Or alternatively, if you say, oh, you know, I want to go on vacation, but I don't know exactly where and when, you can still do it because you'll have 12 months in which for you to enjoy your vacation. So the program is really flexible. And by the way, as a special to your listeners, we will give a free resort directory with 1,900 amazing destinations and many vacations ID to your listeners.
Yeah,
all they have to do is they can just go to happinessassurance.com and they can contact us and mention Roy, and we will basically send them this free information, obviously without any obligations.
Yeah, and you have neat a number of neat destinations like Aspen and Vail, and you've got Hilton Head and Williamsburg, Virginia, and Boston, and the Caribbean, and Hawaii, all kinds of neat places.
Oh, absolutely. The whole thing here is that in addition to really the amazing value that we are providing, we are also providing a free concierge service, which basically will help you to actually plan and book your vacation. Because, for example, in many situations, you know, the husband likes, for example, to play golf, and the wife likes, for example, to, you know, to go to have a spa and treatment, etc., long walks on the beach. And maybe the kids, they want to go surfing.
Yeah.
Now, with our free concierge service, we will help you to find a place that can accommodate all your needs, because you have 1,900 places to choose from. So we can help you really customize your dream vacation according to your own wishes. And again, for $7 a day, you can't get better value than that.
Yeah, that's what. And you also offer, I think this is neat, you offer opportunities for employers to reward their employees, and you give like a volume discount. Every 10 employees that sign up, they get one for free.
Yes, that's correct, because many, many companies, whether they are small, medium, or large, they have the same challenge, and the challenge is how to exceed expectations.
Yeah.
How do you exceed expectations of your employees or of your clients? And we, the answer that we have is that you exceed expectations by providing unexpected value. Well, now, what is this unexpected value? Just imagine that your employer will give you a free 7 nights customized vacation in a villa of your choice.
Yeah.
This is definitely unexpected.
Sounds pretty good.
Right. So the employer can give this thing because happy employees are more productive employees, and they can reduce the staff turnover. So it is really in the interest of the employer to keep his employees happy. And of course, he can use it as incentive for his clients, because he can say, you know what, should you do business with me for this amount this week, I will throw in a free 7 nights customized vacation that you can go where you want and when you want. And therefore, by providing more value to your clients, you can get more business.
Yeah. What are some of the advantages of your happiness assurance plan over the conventional timeshares? I know I went to one in this crummy little lake called Lake Panorama in Iowa, and they said that's okay because you can exchange your week here, your 2 weeks here, for anywhere in the world, but you have to get somebody to swap with you.
Right. Roy, well, thank you for asking this question, because obviously our program is not a timeshare.
No.
And the difference here is that with our program, there is no long-term commitment. You can stop it at any time.
Oh.
There is no significant upfront investment. You are not stuck in the same place, and you do not have to exchange, and you do not have to ask anything. So with our program, basically, for a latte day, you get 7 nights luxury vacations where you want, when you want, without the hassle and without the headache of any other program, because you can stop the payment at any time and you get amazing value, and there's absolutely no long-term commitment.
What if I know I want to take like 2 week or 3 week vacations each year? Can I sign up for like a double?
Oh, of course. Many people do for 3-4 weeks. Actually, we have a client that he signed for 9 weeks.
Oh, I
see. So very much depends on your vacation needs.
Yeah,
so you can sign up with as many vacation weeks that that you need for the next really 2 years, because with our program, you have 1 year to use your vacation after you finish paying.
In essence,
even if you are thinking of vacation anytime for the next 2 years, you can enroll today. in 12 months' time, you finish paying, and then you have 12 months to use it. So if you think about it, we lock in your future price, not for 1 year, but for 2 years. So just imagine what will be the price of vacation in 5 months, or 2 months, or 17 months. You can actually lock your future vacation price for the next 2 years. And this is something that only happinessassurance.com can provide.
And if I have a huge family, say an extended family of, say, 9 people, I could sign up for something there for more than your standard 4 or 6?
Yes. Yeah, basically, we have many people that they are doing a family reunion. So with our program, you can enroll in a gold program, which accommodates 4 people, or a diamond, which accommodates 6, or any combination of between. So, for example, if you have, you know, a party of 10 people or 14 people or whatever multiple, you can actually have as many villas in the same place, you know, the size of your party. So you can book as many, you know, for your family as you need. So you can have 2, 3, 4, whatever, how many villas you need for the same place at the same time.
Yeah, that certainly sounds like a fascinating way to consider taking a vacation. I wish I'd known about this a long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely, Roy, because stress kills and vacation heals. And we really all need to do something for our own happiness, because if we don't do it, no one will do it, you know, for us.
And your website is www.happinessassurance.com, and that's all one word.
That's correct. Alternatively, your listeners, if they want some information, they can also call us. Our phone number is 877-HAPPY-10. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy do you want to be? So all they have to do is they can just dial 1-877-HAPPY-10.
Yeah, I like that. And I would highly recommend that you check into Rami's website there, that happinessassurance.com, because it's certainly a new way to consider. And like, I love that so much better than the conventional timeshares that they're always trying to sell you on, that you then can't get rid of and you can't exchange oftentimes. But and thank you so much for joining us here today, Rami.
Roy, thank you very much for having me. And remember this, life is short. Don't postpone happiness.
No, that's... Don't wait until you're too old to enjoy life and then decide you missed out on everything.
Absolutely not. Have to remember that if it is to be, it's up to me. So you need to do something for your own happiness.
Yeah, and tune in next week when we'll talk about how to be a great grandparent with a lady who's played the part on TV and in the movies. You may have seen her. And also we'll tell you how to take the first step to divorce over the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, or perhaps take a step to avoid divorce. And thank you for joining us on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.